Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, February 5th, episode 26 of our podcast. In today's podcast, we get to the following topics. First, we look at the New York Knicks. Even though they lost to the Lakers over the weekend, they've been playing really good basketball, but they've also played in the last couple of years without Julius Randle. I'll look at, are the Knicks better without Julius Randle? Second, we go to the West Coast. Steph Curry with a legendary 60-point performance, and they lose. So we have to look at the Golden State Warriors coming up with the trade deadline in about 3 days. What should the Warriors do as a franchise next? Speaking of trade deadline, one person we've talked about, Zach LaVine, is now hurt and out 4 to 6 months. What should the Chicago Bulls do now? And also, when it comes down to LaVine, the end of the summer. Speaking of players out, Joel Embiid now going to miss a significant amount of time. We don't know if he comes back for the rest of the season. How does that impact the Philadelphia 76ers short term now in their games they're playing, but also the rest of the season? We'll look at it if Embiid comes back and if he doesn't. And then lastly, I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks lineup. We'll have a bench and we'll have my starting five. Once again, welcome to episode number 26 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. And let's get started. Let's get started with a debate that really kind of ticked a lot of Knicks fans off with me. And believe me, folks, I am a Knicks fan. Are the Knicks better off without Julius Randle? And I want to preface this by saying this, folks. This is not any kind of slander versus Julius Randle. We pull up the last four games or so that have not involved Julius Randle. The Knicks have gone 3-1. Obviously, they lost their last game, a 113-105 loss to the Lakers, in which they were in the game. But, folks, you also got to realize the Knicks are playing more without Julius Randle. They're playing without Mitchell Robinson. OG Anunoby is scheduled to be out for their game Tuesday night as well. Quentin Grimes has been out for a bunch of games. So I don't want people to think this is an indictment or a slander or a hate on Julius Randle, because I love Julius's game. But when the trade of OG Anunoby happened, it changed the dynamic of the team, okay? And I'm going to say the first thing right now. This is Jalen Brunson's team. There's no way around it. He is the star. He is a superstar. I don't care what Becky Hammon says. He is the 1A. He is the guy. He is the, at the end of the day, what like the Lakers wanted to do, you know the phrase? You cut off a fish at the head, right? A snake at the head. That's what you got to do, is stop Brunson. And he's been absolutely fantastic, scoring 3 points per game, 6.8 assists, and shooting at a 48.1% clip. But also look at the play of Dante DiVincenzo, scoring 26.8 points per game and shooting 38.7% from three. Here's why, folks. Because of the ability of Brunson to get downhill, and when you space the floor with shooters, Brunson's able to get himself to the basket, and now you have guys like DiVincenzo who can spot up and shoot for three. So how does this affect Julius Randle? Easy, folks. Julius Randle is... Let's say this, and this is the best way I can say it. If Julius Randle catches the ball and is decisive and he's downhill driving, I think he can help the Knicks and they can go to the next level. But if Julius Randle is going to catch the ball and jab and wait and let defenses load up, that's not what they need. If you think about how Brunson was used a little bit in Dallas, so people know, him and Luka were what I call first side, second side of the floor, meaning you can run wing pick and roll, punch it to that next guy, and that next guy's got a shot or a straight downhill drive, right? Because the defense can't load up because it's on the second side of the floor. The problem I have with Randle is when he catches the ball, he holds it, right? So if Julius Randle's going to hold the ball and jab and do all that stuff, no, it doesn't make the Knicks better. I'm sorry. But if Julius Randle is a downhill bully ball, get to the cup, you take it away, you kick it out to the corner for a three, then the Knicks aren't a better team. So to me, this has come about a couple of things. And it's one, how is Julius Randle going to be used, right? And number two, how is Tom Thibodeau going to use him? Because when you look at the track record of Julius Randle in the playoffs, folks, it isn't good. It isn't good. Look at his series that he had against Atlanta, right, in 21. Look at how he played last year in the playoffs. Now, I will say this. Randle was hurt last year, so I should give him a pass. My thing is this. If Randle could play in a system where he's that second side of the floor, punch the gap, get to the cup, finish at the rim, dish it off as people step in and play him, that is going to make the Knicks better. Also, Julius Randle's got to be this guy that when he's not scoring, he's got to do other things. And that is the other problem you have with Randle is you've seen it this year, and you've seen over his Knicks career, folks, when he's not playing well offensively, sometimes defensively, he becomes a little bit more aloof. This is important for Randle. If Randle is dialed in defensively, no matter what, it's his absolute. Doesn't matter if he's giving you 40 or he's 2-for-20. If he's giving you the defensive effort all the time, I can live with the subpar performances offensively. But I can't have him being subpar offensively and not guard defensively. So Julius has got to make up his mind. But if Julius can be this guy that I think he's capable of, then I'll go ahead and say it. The Knicks are better with Julius Randle if he plays the right way. And we're about to find out, because I do think right now, folks, with the injury to Embiid, we'll talk about him in a little bit, I do think the Knicks are the second best team in the Eastern Conference with everybody healthy. Let's move on to a legendary performance by Steph Curry, right? In a 141-134 loss to the Atlanta Hawks. Steph Curry went absolutely nuclear. He dropped a 60 burger. And the thing is, you know, when you think about a guy like Steph, and you think about his career, Steph is not a guy that's draped into stats. Steph is about winning. So he goes out, he gives you 60 points. And a 141-134 loss, shoots at 57.9% from the floor, hits 10 threes, gives you 60 points, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, and they lose. And they lose. So what do you do if you're Golden State? Folks, I want you to think about this for a second. He gave you 60, right? Kuminga gave you 16. Draymond Green, 3-for-9, 7 points. Andrew Wiggins, Lord, I'm just forgetting Wiggins. Let's go to the next second. We're about to pull up his picture. Klay Thompson, 4-for-19, 2 out of 13 from 3 for 10 points. Andrew Wiggins, 19 minutes, 1 of 6 on the floor, 2 points. I don't care about a damn plus minus. You got 2 goddamn points in a game? You serious? So if I'm Steph Curry, I'm looking around saying, well, Giannis gave me 17. Podzimski gave me 15, right? So Green, Wiggins, Thompson gave you 19 points. Some guy you never heard of gave them 17. Podzimski, the rookie, gave you 15. So this is the problem with Golden State, folks. They got old quick. Or in the case of Andrew Wiggins, you got out of shape quick. So what do you do if you're the Warriors? Folks, you got to blow it up. You got to blow it up, folks. You know, you look at the Warriors right now, they're sitting on a record of 21-25, right? They're playing tonight against, you know, Brooklyn right now, tonight. So we'll see what happens, you know, once the podcast is released, you know, Tuesday morning. But they're sitting at 21-25, right? They are, okay, so they're one game up in the loss column. They only have 25 losses from the 10th spot, right? They're 4 games out of the loss column of the 6th slot. Where are they going, folks? Where are they going to go? They're not going to give the money to Clay. So Clay is probably going to go. Andrew Wiggins has been absolutely, terrible. I mean, awful. Those two guys had the worst shooting splits in their career. Draymond got his money. He's been acting crazy. So the tough thing to do when you're a franchise, folks, is when do you know when to call it quits? And I think this is when the Warriors have to do it. I think they have to turn around. They have to trade Klay Thompson before the deadline and get whatever they can for him, if anything, right? I think Andrew Wiggins needs to find a new home. It's just not working in Golden State. I don't know if you can get rid of Draymond in year one of his deal, so he's probably going to stay. But you got to get this. You got to get Pozinski more time. You got to make sure that Kuminga becomes who is. I kind of got after a little bit at times on this network for his play. But you know, as a coach, sometimes you got to admit when you're wrong about a guy, right? Jonathan Kuminga is getting you 15 points a game, you know, and he's shooting 53.8% from the floor, 33% from three. Now I wish he shot the ball a little bit better from three, but I wish his assist turnover ratio is better than 1-1. But I can't complain about Jonathan Kuminga's game. In fact, I need to commend his game, right? Four of the last five games, he's got you over 20 points, right? So he's been doing his thing, Jonathan Kuminga. It's the older guys, the vets that we are expecting so much from, that are not playing like the back of their basketball card. And at some point, Golden State's got to look to make trades. If I'm Golden State, I'm not making a push for the playoffs. I'm thinking it's time to start unloading some of these guys and see what I can get, because right now they really aren't giving you a whole hell of a lot. Let's move on to Zach LaVine. Someone that's been rumored to be traded for years. He wanted out of Chicago. Chicago wanted him out. But now Zach LaVine gets hurt, right? And now we find out late last week that Zach LaVine's going to be out for 4 to 6 months. Ending a season, and basically now doing, I don't even know what Chicago is going to do now, right? And this is a Zach LaVine that's getting you 19.5 points per game, 5.2 rebounds, 3.9 assists, shooting it at 34.9% from three. Now, that's down from his career average of 38.2, but also shooting 45.2% from the floor. So he's shooting a little bit worse than he has been, but his rebounds were up, his assists were the same, his turnovers were down. So he was having a Zach LaVine-esque type of season. And he was going to be someone that's going to be moved at the deadline. So what do you do when you're Chicago now, right? Like you're sitting there at 23 and 27. Now I know, listen, I saw something today that drove me crazy. Nikola Vucevic basically said, and I quote, he wants his team to stick together. What the hell is he looking at that? I don't see. I don't know, folks. I know they're sitting at the ninth spot at 23 and 27, but they're four games out of the sixth slot. And when you think about this, folks, I want people to think about this for a little bit for a second, right? When you think about strength of schedule, Chicago has the 11th toughest schedule to end the season. They still got to play the next three times. They're going to be battling for a top four seed. They'll play the Bucks. We're going to be battling for a seed. They got to play the Cavs, who are fighting for a seed, right? Twice. They'll play the Clippers, who are fighting for a seed twice. The Timberwolves twice and the Celtics twice. Let me ask you a question, folks. How many of those games are they going to win? Out of those 12 games, two? All right. I'll give you four. 4-8, right? And they still got to play the Hawks. They're a mess. We don't get it going. The Grizzlies got nobody healthy. So, yeah, they got games they can win, but I don't see this team making an impact. So what do, folks? You make trades. And there are two guys that I think need to be moved. One of them has got to be DeMar DeRozan. If you're gonna have to keep LaVine because of the injury, you gotta move DeRozan. Right? You gotta move DeMar. And you look at DeMar DeRozan's contract, he's got 1 year at $28.6 million. Right? So he's gotta be moved. because how much longer is he going to be there, right? So let's look at this. How about a guy that I think has got more, I guess, value? A guy like Alex Caruso. Cheaper. $9.4 million. Longer. 2 years. So you got to look at moving a guy like an Alex Caruso. Now think about this, folks. Ready? They have two number one picks this year. One of them is Portland protected 1 through 14. So he's only got one because Portland ain't going nowhere. They have no first round pick in 2025. They have one in 26, 27, 28. Right? 29. So basically through. So for them, if you could trade DeRozan and pick up another draft, another first round pick this year, if you could pick up a first round pick in 2025, right? And there was something that was interesting that was said. Caruso's a good player. But I read somewhere today that said that Caruso should get an OG Anunoby package. Alex Caruso is not worth an OG Anunoby package. So you mean to tell me that Chicago thinks they could trade Caruso and get an equivalent of a Barrett and Quickly? I'm like, this is the kind of thing that, this is why Chicago has been terrible for 25 years. The only time they've been good is when Tibbs was there and before D-Rose tore his ACL. If you think you're getting two high rotational pieces and a first-round draft pick for Alex Caruso, I don't even know what to say. I'm dumbfounded by this. So let's back up Chicago, right? Get Caruso out of there. Maybe you get a one and a bench piece. Go ahead and get rid of DeRozan. Maybe get another one or two ones for DeRozan. But either way, this is not sustainable. Because if you think about this, I said where they are in the standings. I want you to think about this for a second. In the future, next 3 years, keep all the teams the same. Not better than Boston. Not better than Milwaukee. Not better than Cleveland. Not better than New York. Not better than Philadelphia. Not better than Indiana. Not better than Orlando. They'll never be better than Miami because they got Spo and they got Riles. The Nets, they're a mess, but I think they'll be better if Ben Simmons is ever going to play. I think Toronto's going to end up being okay, even though they've been terrible, right? I think Detroit's going to be better than them at some point in the next couple of years. So you're going to keep this team together with all these guys. And you got guys that are DeMar DeRozan, 34 years old. Nikola Vucevic, 33 years old. Alex Caruso, 29 years old. These guys are getting up there in age. So if you're Chicago, do yourself a favor. Don't listen to Vucevic, who can't guard anybody. Go make some trades and move some guys out. And for the love of God, don't ask for an OG Anunoby package for Alex Caruso. I pray to God I read that wrong. If I read that wrong, I apologize to everybody right now listening, and I'm sorry I'm yelling. But if they really ask for an OG Anunoby package for Alex Caruso, the first step should be fire whoever the GM is in Chicago. He's got no idea what's going on. I'm done with them. Let's move on to Joel Embiid. This one hurts. And I'm a Knicks fan. Because I thought Joel Embiid, folks, was having a better statistical season this year than last year. You don't believe me? Hey, proof's in the pudding, right? Let's pull up his stats and let's take a look. Very simple, right? Let's look at this year's stats for Joel Embiid compared to last year's stats, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Ready? Scoring up 33.1 to 35.3. Shooting percentage down a hair, 54.8 to 53.3. Three-point shooting percentage up from 33 to 36.6. Free throw shooting percentage up from 85.7 to 88.3. Rebounding up from 10.2 to 11.3. Assists up from 4.2 to 5.7. Blocks up 1.7 to 1.8. Turnovers up, higher usage rates, fouls down. Joel Embiid was having a better statistical season this year compared to last. And now he's hurt. And I was going to say this, folks. Joel Embiid, and I want people to listen to what I'm going to say to you. If Joel Embiid did not get hurt and he went healthy, I'm a Knicks fan. They were coming out of the East. They were coming out of the East because of the way he played, the way Maxey has played, what they've gotten out of Kelly Oubre, and by the simple fact they have Nick Nurse as a coach, which is an upgrade over Doc Rivers. They were coming out of the East. So now what do you do if you're Philadelphia, right? You start looking around and you got to say, well, what is it that we can do to help our team, okay? So let's think about this for a second. Who's a tradable asset? Right now, Tobias Harris at $39.2 million in an expiring contract. Tradable asset. Marcus Morris Sr., $17.1 million. Expiring contract. Robert Covington, $11.1 million. Expiring contract. So you're not going to move Batum. I like Batum there, right? You're not going to move De'Anthony Melton, who's been absolutely fantastic. Can't move Paul Reed. Maybe use Cork Motz can get moved. He thinks he's better than what he is anyway, so you can move him. You ain't moving Maxey. You're not moving Oubre. I mean, do you move Mo Bamba? Do you move Pat Bev? I mean, I don't know what you're going to get for them. But Philadelphia's got to do something. I think you have to start looking at Tobias Harris. If you're Philadelphia and you're not going to resign Tobias Harris, then you got to move him now and see what you can get. Okay? Best case scenario for Philadelphia is he's out for about a month, month and a half. He comes back towards the end of the regular season. He's ready for the playoffs. Worst case scenario is he's out for the rest of the year, including the playoffs. So if you're Philadelphia, whatever move you make has got to have a 2 to 3 year window. Embiid's 29. I know he gets hurt a lot, but he's got, I'm going to say at that center position, I'm going to say probably 3 MVP type level seasons left, provided he stays healthy. So if you're going to move Tobias Harris, you got to get someone that's going to help you this year for the playoff run with or without JoJo, but they could step in for the next couple of years. I don't know if Tobias Harris is the type of guy you extend and give him, you know, 4 years, $160 million. I don't know if he's worth that. So you got to take a look at, does Tobias Harris get moved in order to give you assets that's going to help you now, but also for the future? Let's end today's podcast going to Milwaukee and going with my all-time lineup. I'm going to go to the bench first here, and let's start with Jesus Shuttlesworth. You don't know who Jesus Shuttlesworth is? Do yourself a favor. Go watch the movie He Got Game and watch Ray Allen. Oh, God. People think of Ray Allen with Boston, Ray Allen in Miami. Remember, folks, Ray Allen was a supersonic, and then he went to Milwaukee. And he scored about 20 points per game. Got to 3.8 assists. 4.8 rebounds. Three-time All-Star. Shot 40% from three. 41% from three. Hall of Famer. Off the bench, too. Marcus Johnson. Another movie. Just to let you guys know. Do you know what famous movie Marcus Johnson was in? I'm going to see if my producer, Matt George, can say it to me in my ear. Matt, do you know who it is? He Got Game. No, I'm sorry. White Man Can't Jump. He was in White Man Can't Jump. So, the original. Not the new one with whatever that rapper is. Or, I don't know. Not that one. Right? The old one. The original. White Man Can't Jump. Marcus Johnson was in that. How about Bob Dandridge? Y'all never heard of Bob Dandridge. Part of the 1971 championship team. 18.6 point per game. Three-time All-Star Hall of Famer. Off the bench, too, Michael Redd. Boy, Michael Redd can shoot. Boy, Michael Redd can shoot that thing. I don't know if you all remember Michael Redd. He was hurt by injuries, but he scored about 20 points per game. And then lastly, one of the more underrated players of the 1980s, a guy by the name of Terry Cummings. Got about 19.4 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 1.3 steals, two-time All-Star Terry Cummings, a really rugged power forward. People may know more for his time out there a little bit. Played with those Knicks teams towards the end of his career. Terry Cummings was a damn good pro in the 80s for a really underrated Milwaukee Bucks team during that time frame. Let's go to the starting lineup. The Big O, Oscar Robertson, Mr. Triple Double. You all know about Oscar Robertson? Go look him up. He was the first really bigger, stronger, muscular guard. And he could beat you all different ways. Shoot the ball, penetrate, play defense, get rebounds, get assists. Oscar Robertson, one of the greatest players in the history of the NBA. And thank God he got to the 1971 team with Bob Dandridge and another guy I'll talk to you about in a couple of minutes when he finally got his championship after being with the Cincinnati Royals. Two guard, Sidney Moncrief. God, Sidney Moncrief was so good in the 80s. 16.7 points per game, 5 rebounds, 3.8 assists. One of the best defenders in the 80s. Athletic, smooth. Him and his backcourt. The other guy that didn't make it is a guy named Paul Pressey that you guys don't know. Sidney Moncrief was a fantastic, fantastic player in the 1980s, part of that Bucks team that was very underrated. When people didn't talk about the East a lot, when you talk about the East, you talked about Boston and Philadelphia. There was a period of time in the 80s when the Milwaukee Bucks were right up there. There was just that notch below, like them and the Atlanta Hawks with Dominique Wilkins, so on and so forth. But Sidney Moncrief was a fantastic player, Hall of Famer. Forwards. I went with two power forwards because they're both fantastic. First off, I mean, y'all already know Giannis is on the list. Giannis Antetokounmpo, two-time MVP, finals MVP, defensive player of the year, 8-time All-Star, 23.2 points per game, 9.7 rebounds. I'm going to say this right now. If Giannis had a three-point shot, Giannis would be top 5 in the NBA all time. If Giannis had a three-point shot, he would be top 5 in the league all time. Now, my problem with Giannis is also on the defensive end because I think he needs to start guarding the other team's best player. But we'll see how that works with Doc Rivers now that Doc is there. Y'all know enough about Giannis, so I can move on with him. Next up, the big dog, Glenn Robinson. Oh, the big dog was so... Boy, it's another guy that y'all don't know. Was nice. 21.1 points per game. Two-time All-Star. World champion in 2005. After he left. I'm going to say this. Big Dog should be a Hall of Famer. Glenn Robinson could score. And you want to talk about, like, people want to talk about, like, great college players of Purdue. And they bring up Zach Edey. And they bring up someone like a Robbie Hummel. Go watch the big dog eat at Purdue. God damn, was Glenn Robinson good back in the day. And he doesn't get enough respect for how he could score. Glenn Robinson and Ray Allen together as a scoring combination for those Milwaukee Bucks teams. Glenn Robinson, I'm going to say it, should be a Hall of Famer. And one day he will be. Lastly, at the center. Drafted as Lew Alcindor. Y'all know him as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So now he's made it on two teams. 30.4 points per game, 15.3 rebounds per game, 6-time All-Star, 3-time MVP, 71 champion, 71 finals MVP, rookie of the year Hall of Famer, second all-time leading scorer. And Kareem, whose skyhook is the most unstoppable shot in the history of the sport. So unstoppable that no one's even tried to learn it. And since the late 80s, when he had it, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, starting center. So once again, my bench, Ray Allen, Marcus Johnson, Bob Dandridge, Michael Redd, Terry Cummings, starting lineup, Oscar Robertson, Sidney Moncrief, Giannis, Glenn Big Dog Robinson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. This has been episode 26 of our Betting Above the Rim podcast. For all things sports gambling, do yourself a favor. go download that Sports Grid app, iOS, Android. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports gambling, also the home of my college scouting reports. But this is such a fantastic app, especially now when you talk about the Super Bowl. They have so much content on there. You can also have the ability to watch the show live streaming. So make sure you go download that Sports Grid app. Next episode, Wednesday, we're going to go to Phoenix, folks. And I'm going to give you their all-time lineup. And we're going to start to talk about college basketball. We're getting into February, folks. It's getting late early for some teams, including a team that I was big on this year, the Miami Hurricanes, who are getting thunder punched tonight by Virginia. What's going on with the U, with a guy I think is one of the best coaches in the league, Jim Larranaga? We'll look at some teams that have disappointed this year, and can they turn it around? For my producer, Matt George, and Vinny, who does a great job, we'll be back on Wednesday. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.